from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? What? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car for $10. You're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, something a little different for you this morning, actually. A little different sound on your radio at 6 a.m. Good morning. It's Sal Capaccio, and I'm here with Nate Geary. I'm not sure if Nate and I have ever actually hosted a full show together. I'm not positive about that. Maybe a Sports Talk Saturday. We've been together here or there. I know we've done Bills draft stuff together. Maybe even Sabres draft stuff if the times had kind of coincided. But good morning to you. I don't know if we've ever done like a 6 to 10 or a 10 to 12 like straight up show together.
I agree. I think, and if so, it would be me behind the glass during a Sports
That's
Talk
true.
Saturday when you used to host Sports Talk Saturday, and I used
you
to
produce.
Would produce.
For you. Yeah. Evan DePasquale is producing today as well, and we're trying to help Evan along, trying to help everybody along here. I don't know what the situation was with you listening, where you are listening, how you're listening, but apparently there is a global computer issue going on. And I learned about this morning driving in and listening to Amy Lawrence. And I saw also, I opened up on Twitter this morning, and one of the first things I saw was Channel 2 was talking about how, hey, they have the latest this morning on the global outage affecting banking and airlines. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? Then Amy Lawrence was talking about how there's a bunch of airlines that are grounded, but some are, some aren't. People are tweeting in. People are calling saying who's doing what. What I can figure out, I don't know exactly what's happening. I'm sure we can find out a little bit here, but apparently this is a Microsoft issue, but it's the software through Microsoft. It's not like you just opened up your computer. You get on the internet fine here in this building, right?
Yep.
But you can't maybe get into your Microsoft store.
Okay, so it looks like from what I'm reading here that a software update from a cybersecurity company
there it is.
Has disrupted IT systems globally. That's
it's wild.
Yeah. It's just, I think we all take for granted how we always just have everything always, right?
I was thinking the exact same thing this morning.
You never really think about
how much we rely on technology for everything. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's what we do. And technology has enhanced our lives immensely, right? It's also been kind of a, oh my God, there's too much technology and people on their phones too much. I get all that. But everything we do is so reliant on technology. I walked in here and I said, hey, you know, Evan, can you see this or not see this? What is it like in your producer's room? Like, for example, I have no access right now to our call screener, but Evan does. So if you call, like, you'll get in and you can call and Evan will answer and he'll say, hey, what do you want to talk about? And it'll put you on hold. But I can't see that. You can't see it either. Like, I turned this computer around in front of you, Nate, because I wanted to see if that one worked. But if you flip that around, you'll see what I mean. Turn that monitor around right there. You'll see exactly what I mean right there. That's our call screener. It just says, and you can't fix it. It says, hey, it's in recovery mode, but it won't go. But for some reason, there's nothing there that you can see. But Evan can put you on hold and then say, Sal, you know, Joe and Tonawanda's on line one or something like that. And I can just pull it up and he can pull it up. So it's fine. But we have no control over it here.
And, you know, it's funny because I have a Microsoft Surface. So when you when I came in here, I was like, oh, boy, like, not that I'm off today. I'm playing in my, you know, member guest at the club today.
Of course,
so it's not like I really had a lot of stuff to do on the computer. I could have got by today if I didn't use my computer. But, you know, it still is weird to see. And I just wonder if it's like an older operating system. That's maybe why.
Right.
I don't know.
I use Apple products. I have a Mac. Totally fine. Now, I'm not telling you that there couldn't be an issue with somewhere along the way here. I don't know. But I use a Mac and I'm totally fine the way I use it. I'm going to tell you a story I've not told publicly, all right? Which is a bit of a personal story, but a wow kind of thing that I tell people sometimes. But I've never shared this on the air. I'm going to share it with you and you're going to say, I want to hear your reaction to this. So as a lot of people might know, back in February, actually on Valentine's Day, I got a pacemaker. I have a pacemaker now. And it's not because I have an issue with my heart. I have a communication issue between my head and my heart. I've passed out several times. And a couple times I hit my head really severely and they said, hey, dude, you need a pacemaker. This will regulate because I have a, like, basically the way it works is when you, Nate, or anybody listening generally, when you get a little lightheaded, your heart understands that and recognizes it and just kind of works a little harder to get the blood back up and you're fine. Mine doesn't. And it's like, hey, you kind of have to wake up the heart and say, hey, dude, pump the blood. That's what happens to me. It's called neurocardiosyncope. It's just something in my life. So for a while, I'm like, ah, come on. I don't need a pacemaker. I'm too young. I'm too healthy. Yeah. So finally, Valentine's Day, I get a pacemaker. All right. Go in. I'm so glad I got it. It's great. Haven't had any episodes since then. So a week after I get my pacemaker, I have to go in for a checkup, and they want to check the equipment. Like, hey, make sure it's in there okay. Mm-hmm. It's not moving around, you know, all these kinds of things. So I go into the cardiologist's office, but it's really more of like the technicians, and I don't want to, you know, screw up anybody's title. But so this guy, I'm sitting in this office, my wife's with me, she's sitting on the other side of the room. I'm sitting in the office and he takes this little device. He says, I'm gonna check to make sure it's working okay. And he just kind of, it looked like an Alexa, like a little circular thing, right? Yeah. And he just kind of put it maybe 6 inches from my heart and went, and I hear a beep like that. And I see all this data come up on a computer. He never touched me. He never put anything on me. And I'm like, what's that? He said, oh, that's to make sure it's all working. And everything is just coming up, all the data.
Just numbers.
Numbers. I'm like, well, this is kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but I get it. Like, that's how it has to work these days. In fact, there's a little app that sits next to my bed that always downloads the data that I can check every night on my phone or every morning, like, how my heart is. I don't even look half the time because it's fine. It doesn't have to even be working unless I, like I said, in those situations. So then he's checking it and he says to me, he says, hey, you're gonna feel your heart race in a minute. Like, okay, that's weird. So I'm just sitting there and sure enough, I mean, I'm feeling like what's going on here?
1,000 beats per second,
woo!
Right?
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? You could feel like something happened. I look at my wife, my eyes get big. She goes, what's up? I go, I don't know. It just kind of feels weird. I go, what is that? Oh, that's just me. I'm controlling your heart, he
said. Controlling your heart.
From the computer. So when things like this happen this morning.
Yeah.
I think about that and I say, if you can control my heart from a computer because of the pacemaker,
yep.
What else is going on in this world? And I'm not like a conspiracy nut.
Know,
I'm not going down that road. What I'm saying, though, is when I see things like this, I'm like, what else can people do? You know what I mean? And this opens up the door that probably a road I don't need to go down this morning. I just want to, like, my perception and clarity on, like, what is possible really kind of changed that week.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That's a crazy story. I can't even, you know, my stepdad, like long time ago, my stepdad died when I was a senior in high school,
mm-hmm.
and he had congestive heart failure. So he also had a pacemaker installed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he had all sorts of other equipment too. And a lot of it was like technology and computer based. And I guess I never really stopped to think about how many, just you, I know you, I've known you for whatever, a long time. How many people that are probably in your life that have, you know, a CPAP machine, all of these different like medical supplies that are all backed by a computer or yes. now AI, right?
Right.
And how much, when you started the show saying how much we all rely on yeah. technology and—
Literally to keep you alive sometimes like this, right?
Right, yeah.
In these situations. This isn't just being hooked up to something in a hospital.
And all I think about is like you get this test and then on a computer screen, just a bunch of numbers that to you is like a foreign language or right. basically is mumbo jumbo. It means nothing mm-hmm. to you. This guy looking at it and says, okay, yeah, we're good.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
So if, so the other way this works is too, and you know, I mean, you would imagine this is the case, but so my cardiologist has access all the time to my numbers. Mm-hmm. If something happens,
he knows right away.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, she does.
And she would literally like she could call me and say, "Hey,
is everything all right?
Everything good? Like I saw that you had a little episode." She could tell if that happened. Thankfully, it hasn't happened since I got it. That's why it's working, right?
Okay.
But yeah, isn't that crazy?
Have you ever seen the show I Think You Should Leave?
No.
It's a skit show, and there's actually a funny skit about this where the doctor wants him to take him to this really cool place, like this club.
Yeah.
And he's got a pacemaker in, and he sees his levels go up, and it's like 11 o'clock at night. He goes, "Hey, are you at the club?" He goes, "No, I'm not at the club." He goes, "No, you're at the club. You're supposed to take me." So now his doctor knows every time he goes out without him. And it's kind of a funny skit.
Yeah, though. That's the other thing, right? Monitor, they know where people are. And I don't know. Like I said, this could go on a road I don't need to go down this morning. We're not doing it. But you get where I'm going, right? I'm thinking of 1984 and Big Brother and all that. And everybody watching and knowing exactly what you're doing. But it actually, so it's a great point you bring up too about like, you never realize. Do you know how many people I've heard from since I've told the story or shared or told people that I have a pacemaker? How many people tell me that they have it that I would never know? And they're younger and healthier. And I'm like, wow, like I fought it for like a few years. Like, no way. I'm prideful. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this. I'm too young. I'm too healthy. I was actually at Max played at Dalton Kincaid and Spencer Brown's camp the last 2 days. We mm-hmm. went to West Seneca East High School. Great camp. Pro Camps runs it. He's done a couple of these. He did Dawson's last year. And this I met a person on the sidelines who I was talking to, and they said, "Hey, you know what?" I said, "I have a pacemaker too." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, wow, look, you look really healthy." "Oh yeah, well, I have this one issue." Then I was out at the BFLO store the other day for Give 716 Day. And a young lady who is in her early 20s came up to me and said, "I listen all the time. I'm a big fan. And by the way, just so you know, I have a pacemaker as well." And it's amazing and striking. And I think that's like this cool kind of, it's kind of become this cool community where you can share this, right?
Sure.
But you're right. You don't realize how many people might rely on those kinds of things and issues that are going on. It's not just the health part. It's the technology part. And like, wow, like we're all kind of in this system here.
And my sister's been diabetic since she was 11 months old. And she, you know, for a long time, she had the automatic insulin pump where she could literally from her cell phone, you know, boom, from cell phone to pump to I'm, you know, injecting insulin in for, in you know, it's crazy to me. That had always been crazy to me. But now the idea that it's actually helping you in helping beat your heart and control your heart from a remote control. Super interesting and wild. And
I don't know who is able to do what today and where you're able to do it. I would just say this. Check on your computer systems, especially if you use something with Microsoft. Apparently, there's a global issue going on that's affecting some but not all. Could be airlines. If you have a flight today, if you're expecting someone to come in, if you're leaving, I would check with the airline.
Yeah.
I would check with the airport. If you're banking, just know that there could be some issues today. We'll keep you updated if we hear anything. And of course, News Radio 930 WBEN has a lot more on this if you want to turn over to them as well. Sal Capaccio, Nate Geary here. At 6:30, we're going to talk with Brian Cozio. So at the bottom of the hour, Brian's going to come on and talk about the Open. What's going on right now? Nate and I are watching right now, and I see Tiger Woods is 10 over. What's the cut? Definitely not 10. He's not going to make the cut, right?
He's not making the cut.
What's the cut going to be here? Do we know? Like three over, four over?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be over par. Look, Morikawa is it's usually the top 50. So Morikawa at plus two is inside the, in the inside the cut line. It looks like plus two is that cut line right now.
And Shane Lowry's winning. You walked in and said, I should have known with Shane Lowry. Why'd you say that?
Well, first of all, anytime there's inclement weather in the forecast, I look kind of like Shane Lowry as a guy that I'd like to bet. And the reason is he plays well in conditions. His game, he's not a necessarily a big hitter for how big he is. He has just played very well in poor weather because he's from Ireland and he's used to link style golf. And what is part of link style golf? It's the weather, it's the wind, the rain, the precipitation. He just tends to play well in these situations. And he just plays, if there's anybody on tour that I look at right now that is best set up for success in links tour in link style golf, it's 100% Shane Lowry. He's won the Open. It's his only major. He won the Open 4 years ago when it was in Ireland in his, you know, home country, which is really cool. But I'll tell you what, I don't even know Brown's first name. We were talking about this yesterday.
I felt weird because I'm like, who is
all
Brown?
Of us were
it's
saying
Daniel
this.
Brown.
Daniel Brown.
Daniel Brown.
And I believe he is a qualifier from the DP World Tour, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Talk about a six
who
or five
is
under
Daniel
round.
Brown. That's right.
Unbelievable.
Five things to know. Here we go. Five things to know about the British Open Championship leader, Daniel Brown. All right. What are the five things? He got here via final qualifying.
Yep. Sounds right.
Okay. He has embraced a journeyman-type arc career. This is, I'm reading the three things you should know. His childhood home course is a former deer park.
Look at Scotty's stance.
Scotty
right
Scheffler is on his knees in a bunker. I mean, what is going on here? Hey, it looks like it's not raining at least.
Yeah, right? But look at the wind. Look at the flag.
Yeah, you're right.
Jeez.
His childhood home course is a former deer park in England's North Yorkshire region.
Oh, my gosh.
He recently battled a cyst in his knee. Okay, well, you know, he's an athlete. That's going to happen sometimes, I guess.
Really stretching for these five facts.
His younger brother is caddying for him at Royal Troon. That's cool.
Very cool.
For sure. Daniel Brown. He is, by the way, right now, they're pretty clear on top of the leaderboard. They're three shots above. And then
Scotty
Scheffler, just from his knees, basically, his knees are outside the bunker. His ball is in the bunker, and he just had an amazing shot
just
within 10 feet.
Yeah.
Incredible.
What happens if that's you or I? Where's that ball? Is that ball advancing?
Well, first of all, if I have that shot, I might stop my round and say, I'm done.
I might take the unplayable.
But you're right. If you're in that spot where he was, oh, no, you got to try it because we're hackers. That's what we do. And we say, like, come on, we got to at least try
it.
For the fun of it. But you're right. Mine's probably going into the in whatever body of water that is,
yeah,
that's where my ball is going. Is that the channel right there? It's probably going into the channel. All right, 803-0550. Speaking of the channel, keep it right here, like I said, and we'll talk, not only keep you updated on what's going on with the global computer issue, but also got plenty of course, sports talk today, and that starts with 6:30. Brian Kozio joining us at 7 a.m. Paul Edston's going to join us. He is a radio show host in Syracuse. He is also the host of he does a lot of jet stuff. Paul is great. We call him Boy Green on social media. He's awesome. And if you've never heard Paul talk, he brings the energy. So on a Friday morning, a Jets guy bringing the energy, is either going to be great for you or you're going to get very frustrated, one or the other. But it's great. Paul's a really great guy. I've gotten to know him, and he's going to join us at 7 a.m. to talk about the Jets. At 9 a.m., we're going to have former University of Buffalo quarterback, Waynesville South quarterback, Waynesville South now head coach, Joe Licata, on the air. Joe and I, you know Joe well. Joe, he has a really cool, he does a lot of these quarterback camps, but he's got a really cool quarterback camp one-day event coming up in a week from Saturday. So he'll tell us a little bit about that and all the different people that are going to be helping out for all the youngsters who want to be a part of the quarterback camp, boys, girls, all ages. He'll tell you that. I also told Joe, what I want to talk about is how quarterback play has changed. Because when Joe was even growing up and coming up in the mid-2000s versus now, like, I go to some of these camps he does. My son is a part of it. And I watch. I'm like, wow, like, I've talked to him. Wait, like, when I was growing up, they didn't teach that. Like, look at this movement, the way you might drop back, the way you move because of how offenses have changed, right? So it's pretty cool. You played quarterback in your life.
Yeah,
even you think back of when you, and not even talking about different systems, just dropping back and passing, taking the ball from shotgun. Quarterback play has changed a lot. How you read defenses, how you think about defenses. routes that guys are running, spread offenses. Quarterback play has changed a ton, even in the short time that you've been out of playing football.
I think that we know way more. I think this happens with a lot of sports, Sal. I'm going to tell you this. It's happened with youth basketball.
Yeah.
If you've watched any of my younger cousin is a junior in high school. So I've watched some youth basketball. What is everybody doing now?
Three-pointers.
Right.
Three-point shooting.
And it's not that that necessarily wasn't what happened 15 years ago when I played youth basketball, but kids really weren't focused on that. Kids were focused on fundamentals, layups, all that. Like now, kids, instead of working on their layups at home, they're all trying to hit three-pointers. The same, I think, is for the game of football, right? I think kids are growing up, and what are they watching? They're watching their quarterbacks, their favorite quarterbacks, throw the football, run the football. And for a long time, Sal, if you were a great athlete on your team, even if you could throw the football well, they wanted you elsewhere. They wanted you at wide receiver. They wanted you at running back.
When I was growing up, it was running back.
The best athletes weren't playing quarterback.
The best athletes were the running backs when I was growing up, because we were taught when you throw the ball, three things can happen. Two of them are bad.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's what you're taught. So we're not going to throw. We're going to hand off.
But didn't you feel for a long time?
The fast kid is going to go take it to the house.
And you felt like you were sort of wasting an athlete. And, you know, not every team had a handful of kids that you could say, these kids are our athletes. They're going to be our best players. You kind of wanted your athletes at the positions where they could get the ball in their hands and do something with it. Yep. So I think that has changed, where some of the best athletes are playing quarterback now. Mm-hmm. And so you watch the game, more is expected of quarterbacks at the NFL level, at the college level. And because of that, it's trickling down to the youth game. And listen, I mean, I coached, 2 years after I got the 2 years after I got done playing in college. So this would have been 13 and 14 is when I coached youth football. And even then I could start to see the transition, because there is more available. Perfect example, Joe, I think there's more available local, and this doesn't just go for our localities. It's for other areas as well. There's more resources. There's more players willing to, NFL players, right? They're all having camps. There's more. It's accessible as ever for instruction. And I think that's awesome. And I think that for really across a lot of sports, especially golf in the area, a lot of great youth instruction.
Right.
And I think that's great, because I think it gives kids a chance that really love the game, a chance, especially if they're interested and they want to learn more and they want to understand more about the game, not just three-step drops and five-step drops, but, you know, how you have your, you know, the fundamentals of where your upper body is, how to throw the football. I never really went to camps and was taught how to throw the football. It was kind of like your golf swing. It was like, well, that's your swing. Here's the things you can do to make your swing better. And it was never like, hey, Nate, make sure when you're at the top of your release and you're using your shoulders and you're using your hips and torso. It's just instruction, I think, has never been better, and I think it's a great thing for kids.
You raise a great point about the amount of information available. Let's circle back to what we started with the show, technology. When I was at minicamp for the Bills, the first day of minicamp, I think it could have been OTA. It was right around there. Either way, it doesn't matter. We're walking out of like practice, and I'm walking through the field house, and there was and Josh has talked about this too. There was a guy who had all these cameras and set up at a 360. Mm-hmm. They were mapping all the throws of the quarterbacks. Josh stood in, and Mitch Trubisky stood in. And they were throwing little routes, and Chase Claypool was out there catching them. And then they'd go back to the computer and diagnose right away every little thing about their. And Josh talked about it, some company, he talked about it.
Is this the same company that he had mentioned like a couple of years ago? Okay.
Probably, but I think it's even more expansive, sure. Right? And that's how you're mapping every little detail and what you could see. Oh my God, at this point, look where your elbow is, right? It's not just recording someone in slow motion. This is literally a 360, every little detail.
Isn't it funny? And I think back to Tim Tebow, which, by the way, is not that long ago.
Right.
The whole talk about him coming out of college is
he just wins.
But, well, other than that,
yeah.
Like the people that were talking about him playing at quarterback in the NFL level was his throwing motion was going to hold him back from being successful. And by the way, it did actually hold him back from being a successful passer in the NFL. But think about it now, as Josh comes into, I would say, at least the last 3 years with like pretty noticeable tweaks in his throwing motion.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that I feel like is very rare for a quarterback in Josh Allen's, where he is in his career, how he's viewed across the league. Like he came into OTAs this year, and I think it was Matt Bove that may have had the video of like the first couple of practices where it was noticeable him trying to come over the top on some of the shorter passes so that he can be more accurate in those. Because I think Joe Brady's going to ask him to get rid of the ball quicker in some of those screen plays. And I think he really had to work on his fundamentals to get the ball in his hand and get the ball out quickly. Because on those, when I grew up, everyone's okay. Well, your deep passes, the passes, they have to be accurate so that you're leading your receiver. I don't think a lot of people, I think the general fan takes for granted how difficult, but how important those screen passes, those bubble screens, and then guys coming towards you. Those are really difficult throws to make because you have to be, if you have to have a guy stop or come back for the football or drop down for a football, it stops their momentum. And that's the whole point of those plays. A bubble screen, when you get that guy kind of looping around, you have to hit him in stride in order for that whole play to function properly, for the blocks to time up properly, for him to stay in momentum, stay in stride. And I think if you're just a casual fan watching Josh Allen throw a 7-yard bubble screen, I think you'd take for granted just how important the fundamentals that go into that, so that every time it's predictable, the wide receiver doesn't have to think about it and can just catch the ball and go. And that's...
Well, think about the last few years, how many times I've actually had maybe a bubble screen, a little wide receiver slip screen down the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
It's slightly off. We've seen a couple of those.
Yeah.
And like that wasn't a great throw. I mean, it could be a bad catch. It could be a catch you're supposed to make. But those things certainly matter. And I agree. I think all of this information everybody's consuming is coming to this point. But speaking of all that, that happens in golf. You said it as well. We got the Open going on. We got Brian Koziol coming up. Brian's going to break down what's happening at the Open at Royal Troon. Right now, Shane Lowry and Daniel Brown are tied atop the leaderboard. They're just starting, basically. They're both 6 under. The next best, I think it's Justin Thomas, right? Justin Thomas.
JT is at 3.
Okay, that's Justin
and
Thomas.
And Corey Connors right there at 2.
Yeah, they're at 3 under and 2 under, respectively,
two
with a
Canadians
few other names
up there.
We will take a timeout. We'll hear from Brian Koziol, Sal Capaccio, Nate Geary, along with you on a Friday here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, no, I knew going out was going to be difficult. I knew the front line was going to be quite tough. I watched a lot of golf this morning.
which I normally do, and I learned a little bit from that. And you know, I went out there and I just tried to play my own game and stay out of bunkers and just do my thing. And thankfully, it's a good round.
All right, that's Shane Lowry. He is tied right now with Daniel Brown, 6 under at the Open. They are Lowry's through 6, Brown is through 2. Justin Thomas has yet to start today. He is in third place at 3 under. Tiger Woods looks to probably not make the cut. He's about to step up for a putt here. We're watching it. And he is, I think, 10 over, unless something's happened here in the last hole that I didn't see. I know he came into this hole 10 under. There you go. So he's 10 under. This is for birdie, but 10 over. Excuse me, 10 over for Tiger. He's not going to make the cut. Joining us right now on the West Her Hotline is our host of Tee to Green here on Saturday mornings on WGR. Of course, Sabres pre- and post-game host Brian Cozio. Brian, first question for you. Who the heck is Daniel Brown?
Yeah, I think everybody was asking that yesterday. Daniel Brown ranked 272nd in the world. He has played basically mostly just on the European Tour, which is now called the DP World Tour. He did play last week in the Scottish Open, made the cut, finished 61st. But in his previous 7 tournaments before that, 6 missed cuts and 1 withdraw. So to say he was trending terribly was an accurate statement. So this is a major, major, major surprise that he is up there at the top of the board. Can he do it for 4 days? That would be, you know, if you're ranked 272nd in the world and you could do it over 4 days against the best field in the world, this, you know, it would be one of the biggest Cinderella stories in golf history. But he's got a lot of golf to go.
Why is he here? What's he done special the first day and into today?
Incredibly, no mistakes. He made no bogeys yesterday. Like on this course, where even when you hit a really good shot, you can find one of those little nubs in the fairways and it bounces the wrong way. Or you can hit a really, really good shot on some of these greens, and then it, you know, if you're like a foot too long, it can run off into one of these bunkers. So the fact that he was able to play mistake-free yesterday, super, super impressive. So he must be feeling pretty good about his game right now. Again, he's got a long way to go, but, I mean, what a story so far. He's going to get a chance to get some golf love here from fans. Yesterday, I was watching him play the 18th hole, and the bleachers were virtually empty. And today, he's going to get some attention for sure, so we'll see how he handles it.
Brian, like, how much does a guy like Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood even, like some of these European players that grew up on styles, of course, like, do you view that they have a real advantage? Because it seems like, obviously, Lowry's only major win came at the Open a couple of seasons ago, I think 2019. How much of an advantage does growing up on these courses and knowing what you're talking about, like middles of fairways and sometimes hitting the middle of the fairway is not where you want to be, how much does an advantage like that play to guys that have grown up on this stuff?
I think when the wind or the conditions are going to force you to maybe hit different shots that you're not comfortable hitting, I think that's where these guys that grew up playing these links courses have an advantage. I mean, I think for a long time, and I'll go back and give like Phil Mickelson as an example. For a long time, he wanted to play, and you know, maybe this is a bad way to describe it, but like American golf, like, okay, hit my driver as far as I can, and then try to hit the ball as high up and land it as close to the pin as possible. Like that's kind of what we do in the U.S. as much as possible. Whereas he finally kind of embraced, like, all right, maybe on this hole I've got to hit an iron. Maybe on this hole I've got to hit 2 extra clubs, but bring it in super low and bring it in 50 yards short of the green and let it roll up. Or maybe, even though I know I can go at this pin, the fact that if I miss it by a yard, it's going to end up in a bunker. I'm going to have to aim for the back of the green and go in from that route, or, you know, different things like that. So I just think these players that have grown up playing on these link-style courses understand that maybe sometimes the most direct path isn't always the best path or isn't always the safest path. And also, how do you react to getting a bad break? For the most part, if we hit the fairway, like in courses we play, like we're in a good spot. Sometimes you hit a fairway here and you hit a perfect tee shot, but it ends up rolling into one of those pot bunkers and you get a terrible break. So I think a little bit, too, is just handling the fact of, look, you're going to get a bad break here and there and just not letting it get to you. So I think that's probably where some of these guys like Lowry have an advantage, because they have played these courses a lot more than others. So they're more willing to maybe try different shots, which is why I think like my pick coming in this week was Colin Morikawa, just because he's such a good shaper of the golf ball. He hits it lower than others. So, you know, if wind is an issue, I think that, you know, he's willing to accept that a little bit more. He played okay yesterday, but I think guys with that mentality are the ones that have success. And, you know, Lowry obviously would fit that bill.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, I'm looking at the leaderboard. Of the top eight, there's seven different flags of countries. You know what I mean? Like, that's that speaks to what you're talking about. Coming to the U.S. Open, it's a little different. You generally see a lot of the Americans up top. Of course, you're going to see some more Europeans, but there's six different. There's, in fact, the only one, the only two flags that are the same, the only one flag is the same, has multiple, is an American flag with Thomas and Henley in the top eight. Otherwise, you're loaded with different people from different countries who played in different environments their whole lives.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I mean, we've got it spanning all over the globe here. But I think, you know, some of the players that we saw struggle yesterday, too, like, you know, you look at some of those bigger names, and I guess I'll throw some of the American names out there, like DeChambeau. I was really surprised. I mean, his game was just locked in coming into this week, and I think he handled it pretty well. I think Bryson of a few years ago, you would have seen a ton of frustration. He actually, I thought, finished his round pretty strong yesterday. He was actually six over at one point, got it to five toward the end of his round. There were, you know, another player I was really surprised with, Sahith Theegala, a guy that's really known for being creative. He had a bad day yesterday, plus six. Probably a guy that's known very much for having creativity around the greens, Jordan Spieth. He played pretty decent yesterday. Spieth's had a really bad year on the PGA Tour. So, I mean, if he could somehow get himself into contention for this going into the weekend, he's plus one right now. And I know plus one people are probably thinking, oh, it's not that great. But you're not that far off the lead with how what guys are doing here. There's not a lot of guys under par. As of this moment, there's only 20 players that are under par. So if he could somehow get it into red numbers today, I think that would be a really, really nice day for him. But probably the biggest disappointment out of anybody is Rory McIlroy. Yesterday, I mean, for him to do what he did and shoot plus seven, he's going to get a lot of the TV coverage this afternoon here, or I guess later this morning for us here on the East Coast. I was surprised. I know if he was coming right off of the U.S. Open and maybe mentally we weren't sure where he was and he hadn't played in a month, but he played last week, finished fourth at the Scottish Open, played very well, seemingly was in a good mental state even coming off of that heartbreak. Yesterday just found himself in trouble a lot more than he was expected to. Got some bad breaks too just from watching it, but and for him to be where he's at, I was really, really shocked.
And, of course, a lot of eyes on Tiger Woods, as always. 10 over, he's not going to make the cut here. Not a huge surprise, but it just goes back to the conversation we had. You know, it feels like it's more of a struggle for him even to get to the weekend and through the weekend, much less talking about winning tournaments these days.
Yeah, Tiger right now at majors, probably the story is, can he make the cut? That's probably, in terms of the golf competitiveness, what our discussion is. He just doesn't play enough. I mean, I know you cannot just go into a tournament once a month on the hardest tests and just expect to be at the top of your game, even when you are one of the greatest players ever. Now, we know he's got all the physical limitations too. The colder weather this week, I'm sure he's not loving it with how his body's reacting to it, but after the round yesterday, I listened to his press conference. He said, you know, I feel like I'm getting closer. I feel better than I did earlier in the year. He says this is the line that I'm kind of spinning and trying to figure out what Tiger's really about right now. It's like, I need to get in the gym more so that I'm in better shape, so that I can play more, so that I'm not rusty, so that I can be better in the majors. And I'm thinking like, all right, that's a lot of dominoes there. And, you know, he's talked about getting in the gym his whole life. Like, geez, you know, that's all he does. But I guess in his mind, he's like, look, if I can get myself stronger, then maybe I can play more. And if I can play more, then when I get to the majors, the tournaments that he really values, then his game will be in better form. So that's a lot to ask. I know Bulldog and Shope and I were talking yesterday about, like, what if he goes and plays, you know, one of these what we consider easier tournaments on the PGA Tour, one of these ones where the winning score is minus 25. And, you know, Bulldog brought up the point of like, well, what if he goes and plays one of those venues and it doesn't go well? He's like, could that push him closer to saying it's over? And maybe he doesn't even want to get to that point. At least by now, when we're seeing him struggle, like, well, it's at the majors. Like, these are tough tests. It's not, you know, kind of surprising. So I think Tiger's still got a lot to do if we're going to start to talk about him winning again. And a lot of it goes to those three things that he said. But ultimately, I don't think you can play once every 6 weeks in a tough major test and just all of a sudden expect to be great.
Brian, last thing for you, too. Just as we kind of move into the rest of Friday and then obviously into the weekend as well, I look at the scoreboard, at least at the top of the scoreboard and in the leaderboard here. And, you know, obviously outside of Brown and Lowry, there is a little bit of a gap right now. Justin Thomas hasn't teed off for his round yesterday. He ended his round in the lead at 3 under. These have been some pretty low numbers. I was listening to like PGA, the NBC Sports and their and the Golf Channel's, you know, pre-round coverage a couple of days ago. In their mind, minus 14 was kind of the number that had been floated around as where they think this the winner ends up. Are you there with where these numbers are, at least where Lowry is through six holes at 6 under? Or do you think that number is maybe in the single digits? And that would be a pretty low number for an Open, especially where we were at St. Andrews a couple of years ago.
I think with how the winds are playing, I know yesterday it was unexpected. I think this course is playing hard. I really do. I think 14 is a little aggressive. I mean, if someone got to 10 by Sunday, I got to think you are either in the lead or you've got a great chance to win. There's not that many golfers that are under par, and I don't see guys going out today shooting 65 or 66 five under, 6 under. So, the challenge of Daniel Brown being in a position he's never been in his life. He's only through two holes today. So far, so good. I'm not rooting against him. I just don't, I don't know how likely it is that he stays in this window. It would be a cool story if somebody like him was able to stay there. Now, Lowry is another story. You know, I think he's a consistent player. I could see him maybe at the end of the day being at 6 or 7 or 8 under. And then, maybe somehow he can figure out over the weekend to get it to that 13 or 14 number. That's a lot. But other than that, I mean, you've got to, like you said, jump back down to Thomas at 3, and then there's some guys at 2s and 1s. I just think the course is playing hard, and I think that where they're setting up the course with some of these pin placements that are in difficult positions, I don't think there's a ton of birdies out there. So I kind of like it. I think it's a good major test right now. My guess, if somebody gets to 10, I think they've got a great chance to be the champ on Sunday.
All right, last two quick things for you. Number one, Duster Challenge tonight, right? I know you guys were tapping out. It's always a great event. It's going to be great weather for you guys over at Glen Oak.
Yeah, we've got our Duster Putting Challenge tonight to benefit PGA Hope. We've got incredibly over 100 people that have signed up. So if you're signed up playing, we appreciate your support. And tonight that'll be at 6 o'clock. Alan Davis, of course, our boss from our station, is going to be there, which is great. Evan, who's producing, is going to be there, which is great. We're looking forward to it. 18 holes, and then we make the cut down to 16, and then we'll have a Western New York's best putter at the end of the night. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I wish I could be a part of it. We actually have a travel baseball tournament starting tonight, so it's always a great event. I would highly recommend people go out and check it out, and hopefully you've registered and you're signed up to do that. Second thing is thank you again. I don't know if you guys talked about it this week, but Nate, Brian, and Jeremy joined me. We went up to Toronto, played at Oakdale on Monday, where the Canadian Open was held last year. We played in the Zach Hyman golf tournament, for charity, the charity golf classic for Zach Hyman of the Edmonton Oilers. And Brian, it was a fantastic day. Thanks for coming out. It rained a lot, but it didn't matter. Didn't dampen what we were out there for. And I know you got to know Zach a little bit. He's a children's book author on top of being a hockey player and a big Bills fan.
Yeah, we had a great time. Zach and his family did a wonderful job with that event. I mean, it was one of the best charity events that I've played in my life, and I've got fortunate to get a chance to play in quite a few. And Oakdale was awesome. I mean, no surprise that it is a site where they hold the Canadian Open. They had it there last year. It'll be there again in 2026.
That's right.
And it was fun. The moment of the PGA Tour season last year, I always say, was Nick Taylor's playoff putt over Tommy Fleetwood, and we got a chance to try that putt.
We got a chance to recreate it, Nate. That's they really put cool. us right in the exact spot, and they filmed us all trying that putt.
Anyone close?
We're all okay. I think we're within. I was the closest of the group, but I have to tell you, I had Brian go first so I could read his putt.
Okay, well, yeah.
It broke a lot more. I played, I thought, a ton of break, and I probably should have played double what I did.
Yeah.
It was a ton of break. So more and more impressed of the putt that he made after I got a chance to hit it myself.
No doubt. Anyway, thanks a lot for coming out. Really appreciate you and the family being up there. Brian Kozio, host of Tee to Green. What do you guys got going on tomorrow?
Yeah, we got a lot. I mean, the Open, obviously, we're going to talk about quite a bit. But we're at Niagara Falls Country Club
for
the final round of the Porter Cup. That's going on. I guess I should go ahead and might as well give out quick info on that here. Well, if you've got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
In the men's division right now, we're halfway through. Charlie Bundy and Chase Nevins are your leaders at 8-under. But I want to throw out one name, Ryan Edholm, who is from Tonawanda and Canisius College, Sweet Home High School, 6-under par. He's two behind the lead. So a really nice kid, local player. He's right there. On the ladies' side, Amelie Fung from Forest Hills, New York. That's kind of in the New York City area, -4. But another local player, Victoria Leach from Clarence Center, is in fourth and 6 off the lead. So got some local players out there. But round 3 and 4 today at the Porter Cup up in Niagara Falls. Tee time started 8 a.m. So if you want to go up and see them, the leaders today are going, the women are at 1250 and the men are at 120. But it's free to attend, so if you got a kid that is into golf, take them up there. You can get right up on the rope, get really close. So we're going to be up there for 2 hours tomorrow. Porter Cup coverage, Open Championship coverage. We'll obviously talk a little bit about what happened at Augusta tonight, too. So lots to get to. Prime golf season, we love it here as we get closing. We feel like it's one of the highlights of our season here going up there for the final round.
No doubt. Thanks a lot, Brian. Have a great weekend.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
All right, Brian Kozio right there on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll talk briefly, and then we'll get to Paul Edston, who covers the and talks about the New York Jets. We'll do a little Jets preview. I want to get in the AFC East a little bit with you today, Nate, when we have some time. So the Jets will kick us off this morning at 7 a.m. with who they call Boy Green, a radio host in Syracuse. Given what this guy Daniel Brown is doing at the Open, Nate, there is a chance for you after you told me you shot a 74 yesterday.
Yeah, in tournament. Well, 9-hole and then 9-hole, but combined. Wow. Yeah, 74. Yeah.
No mulligans?
No.
Had you been trending that way or just come out of the
move? No.
I had not been
playing well.
You were just dialed in.
And I also don't feel like I hit one good shot.
That's amazing. I had hit a lot of good shots.
I had two birdies to get my round, the back nine to even. And so it's a match play event, and we took 1 point. The other guys were playing unbelievable too.
Low before that?
That was 74.
So you tied your low.
I don't think I'll.
I've only broken
that.
80 twice. I've hit 79 twice.
And how about this? I had no idea.
Well, yeah, that's
we
the best.
We counted
you
it up
wanna,
at the end.
Yeah, because you're like, wait a minute, what?
We played 9 holes, took a break, 8. You had a couple drinks, went back out of the course. I had no idea until I counted it up.
I think that's the best way. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Paul Esden's going to join us. He goes by the name Boy Green because he is a Jets fan, but also blogs about him, writes about him, talks about him. He's on The Score in Syracuse. He's always a treat to have on. We're going to do that next year on the Jeremy and Joe Show, but it's Sal and Nate on WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Given what this guy Daniel Brown is doing at the Open, Nate, there is a chance for you after you told me you shot a 74 yesterday.
Yeah, in tournament. Well, 9-hole and then 9-hole, but combined. Wow. Yeah, 74. Yeah.
No mulligans?
No.
Had you been trending that way or just come out of the
No.
move?
No. Well, I have not been playing well.
You were just dialed in.
And I also don't feel like I hit one good shot.
That's amazing. I had hit a lot of good shots.
I had two birdies to get my round, the back nine to even. And so it's a match play event. And we took 1 point. The other guys were playing unbelievable too.
Low before that?
That was 74.
So you tied your low.
I don't think I'll.
I've only broken
that.
80 twice. I've hit 79 twice.
And how about this? I had no idea.
Well, yeah, that's
we
the best.
Counted
you
it
don't
up
wanna,
at the end.
Yeah, because you're like, wait a minute, what?
We played 9 holes, took a break, ate, had a couple drinks, went back out of the course. I had no idea until I counted it up.
I think that's the best way. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Paul Esden's going to join us. He goes by the name Boy Green because he is a Jets fan, but also blogs about him, writes about him, talks about him. He's on The Score in Syracuse. He's always a treat to have on. We're going to do that next here on the Jeremy and Joe Show, but it's Sal and Nate on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.